Well, let's pray and prepare our hearts for God's word tonight. Father, I just thank you for your word. Lord, you are always faithful to speak to us what we need. And so, Father, I just pray that every person here tonight in this building will receive something by the Spirit of grace, Lord, that you would speak to their heart, that they'll get a word, Lord. That's what we need. And I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want to just encourage you and remind you of some things tonight, some things I believe are really important for us as a church, things that we need to hang on to and keep in our heart and just keep moving forward with. I just want to say, I believe this is an exciting time to be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of negative talk in this world, and a lot of people always, you know, they're just downers. They're always complaining and always moaning about everything. And by the way, if you want to see the end result of that, we'll just read the Bible. And in particular, you can read the book of Numbers and how God feels about all that complaining. I'm just telling you, it'll get you in trouble. But I just want to encourage you that this is a great time to be serving God and be a part of the church. Jesus is still building his church. And I'm telling you, the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. They won't be able to stop it. In fact, church, see, some of you are really worried. And I'm just telling you that the church excels and moves forward under pressure. So don't be fearful and don't be concerned about the things in this world, but instead let's be a people of faith and let's be believing God and expecting God to show out, amen, in these last days. I believe it's time. I believe that the Lord is going to do that. I believe that there is a great harvest in these last days. And I just tell you, I think some of the trials and the challenges for the church today, just good's going to come out of it. Just like with Joseph, what the enemy meant for harm, God is going to use for good. And I tell you, there's a whole lot of Christians that have just been playing church. And they're going to have to make up their mind they're serious about serving God. That's a good thing. Believe me, church, that's what we need, and that's what will get the job done. Let me tell you what won't get it done, is we all just take our ease and put our feet up and just say, oh, everything's just going great, praise the Lord. No, we need to get out of our recliner spiritually and get to work. And sometimes we got to have our cage rattled just a little bit to do that. Preaching good right now. All right. Maybe meddling. We'll get going here, all right? I just want to remind you that ours is not a maintenance ministry. We are never content to just have church as usual or just have our own needs met, but we want to always be reaching out. That is our vision. I believe it's straight from the book. I believe it's of God. That's our vision. That's what we're about. And I don't mean to sound judgmental of anybody else or of any other church. Listen, if they preach Jesus, then I'm for them. And I want to say that very plainly. But I'm going to say this too, though. There's a lot of churches out there that, you know, they're about a lot of other things. We need to remember the main thing. The reason we're still here is so we can reach people. Because let me tell you, we can go to heaven and enjoy the blessings of the Lord a whole lot more than we are here. The reason we're still here, the reason you're still here, is because you've got a job to do. And you need to see that every day there's a reason, there's a purpose. And part of that purpose as for us to reach people. We're in a war for eternal souls, and we need to be storming the gates of hell. I mentioned it just a minute ago. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So let's go sit and watch TV. No, Storm the gates of hell. They can't hold us back. They can't stop us unless we don't do anything. But I'm telling you, church, we're going to do it. Jesus has commissioned us. We're not holding the fort till he comes. We're crashing the gates of hell. We're moving forward. And I'm telling you, we do that by reaching out to people, by winning people to Jesus. We got to remember and understand that the ultimate purpose of the church in the earth today is to reach the world, not just entertaining ourselves until he comes. Amen. We're not a bless me club. No, we are part of an army that's engaged in a battle for the eternal souls of man. That's what we're about. Can't lose sight of it. Got to always keep that in our minds. So many in our culture, right here in DFW, are open to the gospel. They need the Lord. They, you know, listen, the vast majority of them believe in God. I'm not talking about they need to say they believe in God. I'm talking about they need a real relationship with God. They need to know him like we know him. They need a relationship with the Lord that not only will get them to heaven, but will help them to live in victory in this life and fulfill the plan and purpose of God in their life. But so many, I'm telling you, Jesus said, the fields are white unto harvest. Amen. And we got to have that mindset, because the day that you get the mindset that, oh, well, this is a hard field, or this is a burnover field, or, you know, it's hard to reach people. See, that's the way the enemy works, trying to undermine your faith and tell you can't do it. No, Jesus says the fields are wide unto harvest. He says, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the field. So we're supposed to pray, amen? But let me tell you, what are we praying for? We're praying for laborers who will go into the field. I believe Grace Church is exactly what a lot of people are looking for. Not because the preaching's so great. Let me tell you what's so great about this church. We have the sweetest, most loving people. I've said that many times. I'm going to keep saying it because I believe it. And I know the difference. I've had it both ways. In fact, I can say for about 30 years of ministry, I know what it's like to have a bunch of stinkers who are just religious. I know what that's like. And I can tell you that when I talk to other pastors, nobody else has this testimony. I have the sweetest people. They just look at me like, yeah, you're just one of those faith preachers, aren't you? Calling those things that be not as though they were. I'm telling you, I'm just blessed. And people are looking for a church like that where they're loved and people accept them and people are friendly and people care about them. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in this world, they're looking for a church like that. Now, it's not about our church. It's about Jesus. But I'm telling you, those people, they need to be in church. Here's one of the lies that the devil has used against the body of Christ so much is, oh, well, they just need to know Jesus. Doesn't matter if they go to church. How about reading the Bible? Because the Bible never teaches that, ever, ever. That is totally a concept that secular man came up with. Oh, it's just me and Jesus. That's how so many people get off in deception and they get ultimately destroyed because they're not part of a body where they can learn and grow and draw strength from one another and gain wisdom from one another. I'm just telling you, we all need the body of Christ. We got to move on. But I'm just telling you, this church is just what a lot of people need. And right here in this church, you see the proof of the power of the gospel. You see people's lives who have been changed. That doesn't mean that we have it all together, but I'm just telling you, you need to not be timid about inviting people to come to church with you. Oh no, we need to be bold about it. We need to have that mindset. You know what? My church is exactly what you need. Amen. You know, we're not perfect. You know, nobody's really looking for perfect. We always make that joke about, you know, if you find the perfect church, don't join it because then it won't be perfect anymore, right? But people aren't really looking for perfect. They're just looking for a place where they're loved and people care about them. Amen. And where the Bible is preached. Amen. You know what? I can't guarantee you how good it's going to be. I'll leave that up to God. But I'll guarantee you this. I'm going to preach the Bible. And man, what great worship. Amen. You know, there's a lot of weird religious people in this world. But one of the things I love about this church is just normal people with real jobs and families, but they love God and they serve God. And, people see in our life that the Lord makes a difference in our life. And it's not just some vain religion, some powerless religion. It's not just going to church and being religious, but it's something that's real in our life. And they see that God makes a difference, a life-changing personal relationship with God. So many people out there that believe in God, but they need to see something genuine and something real. A couple of weeks ago, I shared from Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, about being salt and light. And that was a leadership message. And I want to read those verses again, though. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Amen. We're not supposed to be hiding out from the world, but we need to live a Christian life right in front of them. People need to see something genuine. They need to see that what we have is real, that it really does make the difference in our life, that we're living an abundant life, a blessed life. There's a lot of people out there that used to go to church. In fact, I don't know how it goes with you, but most of the time when I talk to unchurched people, they almost always say, "Oh, I used to go to this church. When I was a kid, I went to this church." I'm just telling you, there's a whole lot of people out there that used to go to church. Maybe they knew the Lord, but they are out of church. And I want to tell you, Jesus cares about those people. Jesus loves those people. And when he talks about the 99 who don't need repentance, the 99 sheep that are in the fold, listen, he says that the shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes and he looks for that one lost. Oh, how we need to get that mindset and that mentality that we got to go find that one that used to go to church. Now, we want to get the ones that have never been too, amen? But I'm just telling you, around here, you're going to cross the path of a whole lot of people that are going to say, "Yeah, I used to go to church." Oh, but you need to tell them that your faith is real. You need to tell them that what you're experiencing in your walk with Jesus is something that's life-changing, something that's for eternity, that makes a difference, how we need to go to those people. Well, I want to read it. It's Luke 15, 4 through 7. He says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And that just tells us, that shows us where the heart of God is. Listen, he loves us, and he loves it when we come together and we worship him. But heaven has more rejoicing over one lost person that comes home. See, we need to keep the heart of God and what he really cares about. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. We call it the Great Commission. I want to get you to think about it a little differently tonight. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, I just want to point out real quickly to you a couple of things from this passage. Jesus didn't just say, hey, broadcast it by satellite to the whole world. That's not what he said. He didn't even say, hey, get people to pray a prayer. He said, make disciples. He said, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you, we got a job to do. We call it the Great Commission. But I want you to hear this tonight. It is a great responsibility. But in this Great Commission, we have been commissioned. We have been duly authorized. This isn't for the preacher. This is for the body of Christ. Every one of us, Jesus has duly authorized us. We've been commissioned to go. You might be sitting there sweating right now thinking, oh man, that preacher, he's telling us, oh, I got a witness. We know, that's what I need is be beat down with guilt. Why did I come tonight? I could have stayed home and relaxed and watched TV. I'm just telling you, you need to get free from that old mindset and realize that Jesus has commissioned you to do something that's life-changing. I don't just mean for the people you're talking to. I'm talking about for you. If you realize that he has given you the authority, that he has commissioned you, he's going to be with you. He says, I have all authority. And then he sends us out. I know most believers, deep down on some level, they want to share their faith and they want to help somebody else come to the Lord. So I want to make this simple tonight. Listen, you don't need a 10-week course on how to share your faith. We just need to get rid of some of those old mindsets and hindrances. It ought to be a natural thing for us to talk about the Lord. It ought to be a natural thing for us to bear fruit. Tonight, I'm going to keep this real simple. There's more we could add. There's more we could talk about. But I'm just going to give you five things that we need to know. Everybody needs the Lord. That's the first one. Everybody needs the Lord. Some of them don't know it, but everybody needs the Lord. Now, I want to tell you something that goes along with that. You see, in this world, everybody you meet has needs. Some more than others. Some of them are in desperate need. Some of them, you know, they think everything's going just fine and they don't think they need anything, but they do. I'm just telling you, everybody has needs and everybody needs the Lord. And here's why that's so important, because we have what they need. You just need to realize that everybody that you come in contact with, they have needs of some kind. Some have health problems. Some have financial needs. Some have an addiction or some bondage in their life. Some have an unhealthy dependency. Some of them are searching for something. They don't even know what. They're just thirsty in their soul. Some of them, they're looking, they need real friends. Some of them have family problems. Some of them been through a divorce, or they're struggling with how to raise their kids. There's a whole lot of that going on. I'm telling you, in all the darkness and confusion in this world, most people out there don't have a clue about how to raise children and teenagers. Just not even a clue. There's so many voices and ideas and silly baloney coming at them from every different direction, and they're lost. But we got a Savior that can make all the difference in the world for them. But here's my point, though. You just need to remember that they have needs. Second, you got to know that Jesus is the one that meets those needs. Let me put it another way. If we have Jesus, then we have what they need. Jesus is the one who can give them peace. Jesus is the one who can heal them. I know some of you're not really ready for this, but I'm going to put it out there anyway because, well, Jesus did. He said, believers lay hands on the sick and they recover. He didn't say preachers. He said, believers. Believers lay hands on the sick and they recover. They need to not be afraid to pray for sick people. Well, what if they don't get healed? Well, they sure won't if you don't pray for them. But what if you decided to believe? Believers lay hands on the sick and they recover. What if you pray for that person who just lost their job? What if you invite that person to church who doesn't know how to raise their kids, and you start telling them, you know what? We got the best youth group, not just in Burleson, like in the whole state. Do you realize that we got 68 at youth camp this week? We got a bus and two vans, and we had to rent a van, and they're all full. We ended up turning a few away because we don't have any more transportation unless we rent another van. I'm just telling you, it's just... Anybody know anybody with some teenagers that need to be in church and need God? And kids? You know what? There's a lot of people out there that won't even go to church for themselves, and they're not smart enough to figure out that the way to get your kid in church is to go yourself. But if their kid decides that the kid wants to go to church, then the whole family will go to church. So I'm just telling you, you need to be telling people. But we've got what they need. I'm just telling you. They have needs and we've got what they need. Jesus is the one that can set them free. Jesus is the one that can put their life back on track. Everybody has needs and Jesus can meet those needs. You got to remember that. Third, we need to know that we've been commissioned to minister to them. Now, I already told you about Matthew 28. Let's turn it around. It's not just a commission like, you know, a responsibility, but it is a commission, as in we've been authorized, we've been sent. I love this verse, John 20 and 21. Jesus says, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. Do you believe that Jesus was sent by the Father? He says, as the Father sent me. Why was Jesus sent? To seek and to save that which was lost? Listen, as the Father sent Jesus, he sends us. There's just not really any place in the Bible for this spiritual club thing that a lot of people call church. We are here because we have a job to do, a commission. We got to reach people. And let me tell you something. Quit thinking about yourself about this. See, as long as we think about reaching out to people and sharing our faith as how that affects me, we need to start thinking about those people. See, when you get your eyes off of yourself and how you feel, and you start thinking about them, it'll put you over. It'll help you get to the place where you're ready to talk to people about the Lord and invite some people to church. But you need to understand the King of the universe has duly authorized you. Your workplace. Well, it's just a place for you to reach people. Oh, now, preacher, we got to keep, you know, business and the Lord. That's two separate things. I mean, that's like the separation between church and state. Amen. Well, I'm going to bring that into my business now. Well, you know what? If you bring Jesus into your business, you might just have a lot more success. It worked for Peter. Jesus got in his boat. Used his boat to speak from, used it as a platform. And when he got done, he said, Peter, push out in the deep. Let down your net. Lord, we've toiled all night, caught nothing. But at your word. And he lets down the net. And the catch was so great, it couldn't even haul it all in. Peter says, Lord. He finally realized who he was dealing with now. He says, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. But I'm just telling you, you let Jesus in your business, you might just be surprised what Jesus can do for your business. Mm-hmm. Well, my boss won't like it. You know, it's not my business. I'm just an employee. Been there. But I'm just telling you, that if you'll let Jesus use you, he'll take care of you. Got quiet on me. That's all right. We'll keep going. But you've been authorized. You don't need to be ordained by a church to help people. You've been ordained by Jesus. He uses believers. Do you know the vast majority of people that get born again and who are discipled and serve the Lord, they are brought into the church, listen, not by some big name preacher. The vast majority come because they knew somebody, either a relative, a friend, a coworker, somebody brought them in. See, what we hear all the time is about mass evangelism and TV and all this stuff. And I'm not knocking that. I'm not saying that God doesn't use it. But I'm just telling you, the vast majority of people are in church today because of a relative, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor. Somebody brought them in. He uses believers. Believe God. Here's a challenge for you tonight. Believe God that between now and the end of the year, you got almost 6 months left. In 6 months, believe God that you're going to get one person in church. Just one. Now, some of you, you're going to get a whole lot more than one. If you really believe God, you'll get one. And then you'll be like, hey, this is cool. this is fun. I want to do this again. But what if you just start with one? Set your sights. Start praying for somebody. Start seeking the Lord about how you can win this person. But make up your mind that you're not going to go this year without winning somebody and getting somebody in church. You know, we do this about different things. I'm going to lose weight. By the end of this year, I'm going to... All kinds of things, and many of those are worthy goals. But what could be a better goal than to reach somebody, to help somebody, to see somebody's life turned around, changed for eternity? Third principle was, you've been authorized, you've been commissioned. Fourth, you need to know this. You don't have to do this in the arm of the flesh. It's not in your own strength and ability. He has given us the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me. Listen, he's given us the power to do it. You might be a shy person. It doesn't matter. It's not about personality. It's another trick of the devil to get people to sit on the sidelines. Oh, well, you know, you got to be a certain personality to be used of God. That's not in the Bible. In fact, I see God using some of the most unlikely personalities. Uses melancholy prophets. I mean, have you ever read the Bible? Some of these got like Jonah and Elijah, you know. God does exactly what he said he was going to do. And then they're like, just kill me, God. My life is worth nothing. And God used these people. So I'm just telling you, God can use you. It is the power of the Holy Spirit working through you. And you need to realize you're not doing it on your own, that the one who's always with you, he's the one that gives you the ability. He's the one that gives you the right words to say. And you might see, that's one of the things, people don't talk about the Lord because they say, well, I don't know what to say. Trust the Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. And here's the last one, and I don't want this, by last doesn't mean it's the least important. Listen, he has given us his love. In fact, that has to always be our motivation, that we love people, we want to help people. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Remember what Jesus said? This is my commandment, that you love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples because you have love for one another. See, that's how the world knows that we're real. I mentioned earlier that people need to see something genuine, something real. This is how they know. It's because you love people. That's it. Listen, it's not because we're religious. It's not because we can quote a whole bunch of scripture to them. It's because we love people. Jesus said, this is how they'll know. By this, all men. I thank the Lord that he has brought together such a wonderful group of people in this church. That's what we want to be known for, is for our love. Listen, I would like for our church to be known for its great preaching. I would like for our church to be known for the great worship that we have, the great youth ministry that we have, and for the awesome building that we have. But let me tell you, what we really want to be known for is the love that we have for one another. That when people come through those doors, they're going to be loved. They're going to be cared for. That there's going to be people there who genuinely love them. And I'm telling you that as we reach out to people, that's the one thing that you gotta always know, that you gotta love people. Because you know what? If you love people, you'll find yourself meeting their needs. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? And Jesus tells that story to illustrate what it is to love your neighbor. You see somebody in need and you help them. And I'm just telling you, church, we've been commissioned. We got a job to do. Let's not be content with where we are. You know, I think one of the things that happens to so many of us is we start thinking about our own needs and our own problems. But oh, it's so amazing when we just step outside of ourselves and begin to help somebody else and minister to somebody else, how God takes care of us and how what we thought was such a big deal all of a sudden doesn't even seem to matter anymore. I'm just telling you that if we get busy about the Master's business, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all those other things, He takes care of them. People need the Lord. We have what they need. We have been authorized, commissioned. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. The same Holy Spirit that dwelt in Jesus is inside of us. And we have the love of God. We love because He first loved us. And the same kindness, the same compassion. See, how do you treat people? Well, just treat them the way God treats you. We have the love of God poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You're ready to go. Isaiah, in chapter 6, Isaiah had a real experience where he had a vision, he saw the Lord, and he said, "Woe to me, I am ruined. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst a people of unclean lips." And it's interesting to me that he talks about the lips, and I'm not going to take this too far, but I just want to tell you that when you're ministering to people, you want to reach people, and you're living a Christian life before people, what you say out of your mouth is huge. But it's interesting to me that he says, "I have unclean lips." And then an angel takes a coal and he brings it, he touches his mouth with it, and he says, "Your guilt has been removed and your sin is atoned for." And I preached this Sunday that our guilt has been removed. Our sin has been atoned for. And you see, once you realize that, then you're ready to go. That's what Isaiah said. The Lord said, "Who can we send?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And I'm just telling you, you who have been forgiven, you have been washed in the blood, you who have been made righteous, you who have been so blessed, we're ready to go. We got a job to do. I want you to stand with me. And as we stand, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. And I just encourage you, in your own way, you talk to God about the word that you heard tonight. And you let God use you. So many people need what you have. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that we are given the privilege, Lord, of being co-laborers together with you. Lord, that as we serve and we work and, Lord, we are willing, Father, that you give us success. Father, that you bring the increase. Lord, that you draw people by your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you are the one that sets them free and heals them and changes their life. And Father, I just thank you that we get to be a part of that. What a joy, what a privilege. Use us, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I see Brother Ken Dornhecker and his bride, Becky. I want y'all to come down here because, I'm just a little guy in the kingdom, but this is a big man in the kingdom. And I just want to say this. Some of you tonight, you want prayer. You're saying, I want to be used of God in a greater way. I want to be able to know that God has used me to change a life. And I got them down here because, listen, he's going to pray for you. Becky's going to pray for you. If that's you and you just need special prayer tonight, and there are other prayer partners too, maybe you just have a need tonight that you would like for somebody to pray with, I'd be glad to pray with you. But if you just want God to use you in a greater way and be a bold witness for the Lord, I want you to come let Ken lay his hands on you, all right? Lord bless you. You're dismissed. If you want prayer, you come on.